Think about something you've always wanted to add to your life and try it for the next 30 days. It turns out 30 days is just about the right amount of time to add a new habit or subtract a habit, like watching the news, from your life. There's a few things that I learned while doing these 30-day challenges. The first was, instead of the months flying by forgotten, the time was much more memorable. This was part of a challenge I did to take a picture every day for a month, and I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing that day. I also noticed that as I started to do more and harder 30-day challenges, my self-confidence grew. I went from desk-dwelling computer nerd to the kind of guy who bikes to work for fun. Even last year, I ended up hiking up Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest mountain in Africa. I would never have been that adventurous before I started my 30-day challenges. I also figured out that if you really want something badly enough, you can do anything for 30 days. Have you ever wanted to write a novel? Every November, tens of thousands of people try to write their own 50,000-word novel from scratch in 30 days. It turns out, all you have to do is write 1,667 words a day for a month. So I did. By the way, the secret is not to go to sleep until you've written your words for the day. You might be sleep deprived, but you'll finish your novel. Now, is my book the next great American novel? No, I wrote it in a month. It's awful. But for the rest of my life, if I meet John Hodgman at a TED party, I don't have to say, I'm a computer scientist. No. If I want to, I can say, I'm a novelist. So here's one last thing I'd like to mention. I learned that when I made small, sustainable changes, things I could keep doing, they were more likely to stick. There's nothing wrong with big, crazy challenges. In fact, they're a ton of fun, but they're less likely to stick. When I gave up sugar for 30 days, day 31 looked like this. So here's my question to you. What are you waiting for? I guarantee you the next 30 days are going to pass whether you like it or not. So why not think about something you have always wanted to try and give it a shot for the next 30 days? Thanks.
Somebody clapped for me on that. That was awesome.
Hey, thanks.
Is this working? We're good? Okay. So just FYI, we are not doing a 31-day challenge. Get yourself better, but it's intriguing, isn't it? So Brian's been talking for the last few weeks about these four chairs, right? And even if, Wheezy, if you wouldn't mind throwing the picture up there, not that one, the four chairs one. Yeah, there we go. Cool. Awesome. So this microphone, this is a side note. I'm going to tell on myself. This microphone over here had nothing out there, but I could talk to Dana during it. And I was like, hey, Dana, you're speeding up. Hey, Dana. And he couldn't say anything back, so it was really fun. It was great. But we've been talking about these four chairs, and what does discipleship look like? How do we know where we're going? And so you start with this come and see, right? Remember this chair over here? Come and see. This is that curiosity where Christ first begins to become a thought in our life, right? That verse that why we're still sinners. He came for us. And then after this chair, there's a transformation that happens in our heart, and we come to this follow me where we say, Christ, I want to follow you. I want to repent. I'm sorry. You know, that whole thing. And then we work over into chair 3 and 4, which I'm going to use these today because our sound people wanted their chairs back. But this idea that you move from these really, it's sort of a comfortable seat where you're just being ministered to and it's comfy and it's good. And a lot of times we can get stuck here. But we were like, how do we wrap this up? And I was just thinking and praying and this phrase, do something, popped in my head, which we've been laughing about it all morning. Like literally the sermon today is the most practical one you've ever heard because it's do something. Like what? I don't know. Just do something, right? Like, we're so comfortable, we just need to do something, right? So we're going to talk today about chair 3 and 4. What does it look like in our faith? There you go, Brian. Thanks. You're welcome. To do something. To not just sit in the rut and not just be comfortable and not just be here to soak it up and then leave and maybe throw a complaint card in on the way out or something, but to do something. And so when we talk about these, it's this idea that what are we doing right now in chair 3? Are we being purposeful with our life? And then are we dreaming big about what God can do with us later? It's interesting, even that idea, like how many of you have done something new recently? You've just tried something new. Like, I won't call you out, but how many, like, show of hands, how many have tried something new that you can think of? Like, significantly said, I'm going to do something new. Does anybody want to share what it was? Anybody at all? Oh, I said I'm not going to call you out, and then I lied. Ugh. Marcia, what did you try?
We opened our bunkhouse up as an Airbnb.
Wow. Yeah.
But God gave us a gift through each person, and I hope we gave them a gift back.
That's fantastic. Good job. That wasn't planned or anything. I really didn't know if anybody was going to have anything. Because as creatures of habit, we don't like new things, right? I found this meme. This is a chance, Wheezy. I found this meme that was really funny that kind of fit into this. Yeah. I'll wait for you on that. Yeah. I can't do that. This, in a way, can summarize how, honestly, I live a lot of my life. Like, there are so many things that I want to do, but I'm afraid to try them. I spend a lot of my life not doing something. A great example is I have grown up in this general area for 36 years and never, ever, ever, ever been skiing, ever. And I have a lot of excuses like, oh, it costs a lot of money and blah, blah, blah. Truth is, this is just me being honest, I know I'm going to look like a fool that whole day. It's new and it's scary and I've never done it. So this morning, I want to challenge us with this thought of what does it look like to do something when it comes to our faith? Now, I'm not saying, and none of this is bad, but I really want to make sure I'm not challenging us to behavior modification. I'm not challenging us to go be a better parent. That's a good thing. I'm not even challenging us to read your Bible more or pray more. That's a good thing. I'm asking that question of when it comes to our faith, what does it look like to live in faith more? To just do something that stretches us out of our comfort zone when it comes to living in faith. Just something. Like, how is God challenging you in your life, where you are, to be purposeful, to do something? That would have been really cool if you all said that with me. That would have been like, oh, they're with it, but... Brian... Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Every time I preach, you're gone, Brian. And so usually I spend the first 5 minutes making fun of you, but I can't do that today. Man. If you have your Bibles, would you turn in them to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6? We're going to hang out in this verse today. I'm actually going to dissect this. I want to read it, and then let's get into it. It says this, Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those that earnestly seek him. He rewards those that earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must know that he exists, and he rewards those that earnestly seek him. Can we pray and then let's dive into this? Lord, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you that you are working in our heart from chair 1 to 2, 3 to 4. You have a plan for us, God, but I pray that you would help us this morning to live our faith, to maybe we need to get out of this rut of being comfortable, of just going with the flow. Challenge us this morning. We praise your name. Amen. So here's the first question. How are you living by faith? If you look at the first part of that, without faith, it is, everybody say this word, impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I'm honestly not here to blow your mind theologically today, because that won't happen. I just want to challenge you. What does it look like to live by faith? Are you living by faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That should challenge us. So that first question is, what does it look like to live by faith? An interesting study that you could do at any point is to look at the Bible and look at people that gained favor with God. People in the Bible that goes, and he gained favor with God. You'll find people like Moses and Noah and Daniel and Mary. These people that just said, God, whatever you want, I will do it. When we talk about faith, these were people that weren't after what I want. They were after what God wants. Moses. Goodness, we know he was not doing what he wanted to do. If anything, he was kicking and screaming as God kind of pulled him along to this, hey, go save these people. No, thanks. Yeah, no, you're going to do that. Okay, let's do it. God helped him and he was with him, but Moses, what an area of surrender. Noah, building this big boat for a bunch of people that ridicule him for years and years for rain that they've never seen. You got to know Noah wasn't looking for a pat on the back. He was just being faithful. Daniel, who got sentenced to death because he was praying. He had a cush, good life, but he wasn't willing to give that up, right? For his faith. And then you have Mary. Man, we know her story, right? All these people that they realized with this, I think when we read this the first time, that without faith part pops out. And we go, okay, live by faith. But I think the goal of this that we can't miss is not the first part, it's the second part. Is our goal to have faith, which it should be, and we'll get to that, or is our ultimate goal just to please God? God, whatever you want. It's not what I want, it's what you want. It's not my desires, it's your desires. It's not making me comfortable, it's making you comfortable. Comfortable, that's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. I think when we think about faith, I think an important thing for us to realize is that we often think living by faith, we think two different directions. We either think it's headlines or footnotes. Let me explain that. We either think that living by faith means these headline things, this big, crazy, audacious, go get them things that people are like, whoa, you know, you think of people that live by faith and they go and they pray for people and their arms are growing back and things are happening. And that's a little scary for some of us. Or we think by faith and it's just footnotes. It's just that daily, you know, going through life and I read my Bible and I go to church, and yeah, and both of those are great things. But in some conversations I've had in those things, if we're really brutally honest, sometimes those things are about us more than God. When we think of living by faith, we think, man, if I could do this, man, I would be an amazing Christian. Or I'm just trying to, in my own strength, do the right things to get through it. And I'm not downing on either of those. But I'm challenging us to think that maybe when God says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, instead of asking the question of what can I do, we need to ask the question of God, what do you want to do? So my question to you, what would it look like for you to please God in your life right now? What would it look like for you to live a life of faith in the environment you're in right now? At your work, at your school, in your home? How could God challenge you to be more faithful? Max Lucado has this great quote that I really like. And this is the only... Natalie and I were talking, like, sometimes these guys have big quotes from these big people that I've never even heard of. So have you heard of Max Lucado? Okay, awesome. Yes. Okay, so faith. Faith is not believing God will do what I want. Catch that. It's not believing that God will do what I want. Faith is knowing that he will do what is right. Yeah. It's knowing he will do what is right. It's trusting that no matter where you are, God's still going to do what he knows is right. And to be honest, I would so much rather trust his opinion of right than mine any day of the week. And that's easy to kind of say off the cuff right now. But we all have been in situations where we're like, this isn't right. I want this gone. I want this to go away. In those situations, faith looks like going, God, I got to trust you in this. I got to trust you in this. You are doing what is right. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you, but it's right. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We've got to make sure, number one, that our goal is pleasing God, our prayer life. And again, do not get me wrong. Should we be praying for the sick? Absolutely. Should we be praying for the hurts? Absolutely. Should we be praying that God would intervene? Absolutely. But we should also be praying that he would do amazing things. We should also be praying that he would transform people's lives. We should also be praying that he would stretch us and work in areas that we think are impossible. Amen? Yeah. I don't want you to think that I'm not discounting anything. I know the fear in that is discounting anything. But that's where this comes in. What are we doing, chair three, to follow him right here, right now, where we're at? Number two, it says this, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those. I want to stop there. We live in a culture that sometimes seeks the hand of God more than God himself. Would you agree? Sometimes we're guilty of asking and asking and asking, right? God, give me, give me, give me. I want to make sure we get this. God does reward. God does bless. God blesses the way he wants to bless. I was studying up on what's the blessings of God and what does that look like and what doesn't it look like? And I came to this conclusion. He blesses however he wants to bless. If that's monetarily, if that's physically, I don't know. He blesses the way he wants to bless. Because again, it's what he wants to do that's right. I think about this with, we're doing this men's, and the women are doing the same thing, but this men's Bible study. And this last time we met, we talked about the man being let down through the roof. Have you remember this one? And I was with, I think it was with Yancey and Terry Durfee, and we were just starting to think about that, and we started laughing, like, what kind of dingling came up with this idea? Like, okay, we got this paralytic guy on a mat. We're bringing him in and it's too crowded. So I can think of about 100 things you could do, like leave him there and wait till it's done, or just say, excuse me, as you work your way through. And I kind of threw myself under the bus. I said, this would have been my idea that you guys are like, that's dumb. And I'm like, no, it'll work. I promise. I read it in a book somewhere or something. So what do they do? Instead of waiting, or they go to the roof in the middle of Jesus teaching and talking to a crowded room, and they dig a hole in the roof, which would take a little bit of time, wouldn't it? Like, it's not like they just went bloop, and they're like digging a hole, it says, in the roof. So rubble's falling, you've got to know. And then the hole is there. I think they waved or something. I don't know what. Hey, then they let the guy down with a mat. Now, did they do something? Yes, absolutely. Did God bless what they did? Did he honor and bless and reward? Absolutely. But here's what I love about this. Instead of just saying, all right, good job, you did it, get up and walk. Instead of just healing him, does anybody remember what he says? Your sins are forgiven. And again, just because I can picture the guys up there being like, what? All that work for, no, we want, but he said your sins are forgiven. God blesses the way he wants to bless because he knows what's right. And this caused a lot of confusion in the people, but in our teaching that we're watching, Francis Chan says, think about the hope that came through that blessing. Think about the hope, not just for him, but for everybody. And he posed this challenge that said, our biggest problem is not a physical problem, ever. Our biggest problem is that someday we're going to stand before God. Are we living our lives as if the rewards that God gives are the ones that we need? Or are we kind of discounting those and saying, no, God, sins are forgiven. That's great. I'm saved. That's great. But, you know, I really could use this financial blessing right now just to make life a little more comfortable. And I know I'm not, that's, this is a, that one, I wrote that on the paper and then said, ouch. Like, are we living our lives as if the blessings that God has are the ones that we need so desperately? Our sins are forgiven. Amen. We are saved by grace through faith. Amen. I really was challenged with that. We've got to make sure that we're here to please God. And then we've got to remember that he does bless. But instead of seeking what we want, we've got to just be open to whatever he's got because that's what's right. If you ever fly into social media, there's this little thing called a hashtag. Burp, burp. That's what it, the kids are always like, hashtag. If you ever look up hashtag blessed, you can imagine the things that come up, right? Hashtag blessed, you'll find like cars and houses and comfortable material things, but rarely do you find a Daniel. Hey, I was seeking after God and they told me I couldn't or I was going to be sentenced to death, but I did it anyway. And now here I am chilling in a lion's den about to be either eaten or saved. Hashtag blessed, right? Noah, hey, I'm building this big old boat. For the last hundreds of days, people are making fun of me. My family thinks I'm crazy. But I got this big boat, hashtag blessed, right? Like, we don't see that. But in our lives, what would that be? Hey, I'm dealing with loss. I'm dealing with addiction. I'm dealing with hard things, but I know God's faithful. Hashtag blessed, right? I might be down, but man, I'm saved, blessed. He blesses the way he wants to bless. Amen?
Amen?
So that should push us to this idea of, man, so we can just do something. Step out in faith. Stop seeking us, knowing we seek him. When I was putting this together, I had all these, like, I was sitting at the bakery writing, and I kept thinking, like, oh, that's a good line. Oh, that's a good line. Oh, man, that one's good. I told Brian I just need, like, this box of microphones that I can just start. And then I looked back at all of them and I was like, nope, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. That one made sense to me though. Man. And here's the biggest challenge. Here's where the rubber hits the road. If we're going to walk through these chairs and if we're going to take this big jump from chair 2 to chair 3, which says seek him or do something, we've got to look at this. He rewards those that earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. When you look at that word earnestly, if you look that up, it means this idea of this commanding, demanding, investigating, like craving, And worship, that's what that word means. You crave, you investigate, you demand, you worship, you put something at the highest priority of value. He rewards those that earnestly seek him. What does it mean to live by faith? It means to earnestly seek him. And keep earnestly seeking him. It means to keep doing something that he's calling you to do. It means to keep dreaming about those things that seem huge and impossible. Earnestly seek, keep doing. In the Bible, in Matthew, it talks about this verse that says, would you throw that next verse up? He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I grew up hearing this verse a lot and even as a kid, like, how many grew up in church? Did you? Anybody ever test this out? Did you? Like, okay, there's the mountain. Mustards, come on, come on. Like, anybody ever do it? I was so focused on that mountain. I wanted that mountain to move. I didn't know what it meant, but he says, you have faith. And I was like, a mustard seed. We always learn it's a little bit of faith can do a lot. And I'm like, okay, I got a little bit. And it was just, it never worked. I never moved a mountain. When we talk about earnestly seeking him, let me put this verse in context for you a little bit. Before this happened, this is a response to some men who came to Jesus and said, we were trying to drive out demons. We were trying and it wasn't working. Why not? And he said, so they were doing something, but if you back up, without faith, it's impossible to please God. They were trying for that headline type of faith. We wanted to do something awesome because people look at you and they think you're awesome and we wanted to look awesome. He said, why didn't it work? And he gives them this verse. Hey, if you just have faith as size as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Nothing will be impossible for you. And then he follows it up with this. What this looks like is prayer and fasting. What this looks like is earnestly seeking after God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It doesn't look like go do something big and see if God shows up. It means like get on your knees and pray that he puts you in situations where if he doesn't show up, you don't win. It means going there. And so I look at that verse. Would you go back to that mustard seed verse? I look at this and I think maybe the point of this verse isn't moving mountains. Maybe the point of moving mountains is so that we can see God. That was one of those. Maybe the point of moving the mountain is so that we can see God better. Maybe the point of his blessings, however he blesses, is so that we can know him better and better. Because God never gives us more comfort for the sake of comfort. I think he blesses us so that we can see him better. And then he challenges us so we can see him better. And then he uses us so that we can see him better. He is constantly, always after us being able to see him better. So the challenge is this. What would it look like to do something? Right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if we believe him, he will reward those that earnestly seek him. So let's reverse that. If we earnestly seek him, we know there's going to be rewards, but we want to please him by living in faith, living in the challenges that he's called us to. And here's the crazy thing. If you ask God, God, what is that something that you want me to do right now? Your environment's probably not going to change very much. The scenery is probably going to look about the same. But your purpose is going to be very, very different. What does it look like to be purposeful for Christ where you're living? With my family, how can I be more purposeful with my kids, with my wife, in my job, in Big Timber? You know, maybe it means just inviting that person to lunch that you've been saying, I need to take him to lunch. Maybe it means giving that gift or starting that little Bible, knocking on your door's neighbor, just giving that encouragement. And then also maybe it means that big dream that God's put on your heart, to keep dreaming about that and keep saying, God, man, if you open doors, I will do, I'm there. I'm willing, scared, but willing. Maybe it just means keeping your eyes focused on him in this hard, hard time. Maybe it means just saying, God, I know it's not this, but I'm going to be so faithful to you, even though this is hard. Calm the waves if you could, but we're still in the storm. So has God put that burden on your heart? Has God put this big thought? Has God put you in a place that needs Jesus? Has God put a breath in your lungs? There's purpose for it. Amen? So without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is kind of the wrap-up of our discipleship thing. Not that we're never going to talk about it again. We'll probably talk about it way more than you want. But we're going to talk about these four chairs. But when it comes to these, it's this idea of let's get out of our comfort and let's just start doing something. Living out our faith some way. By seeking him and going, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm in it. I'll do it. Can we take a moment? Would you bow your heads? I'm going to give you a moment just to pray and process that with God, and then I'll close this. God, I pray for a willingness for us just to start doing something. To take our faith and make it mobile. Lord, I pray that you would make a difference through a group of people that just have a desire for your will to be done, not ours, but yours. Lord, challenge us. Give us your eyes, give us your ears to see the way you see things, and then give us the courage, Lord, in your spirit just to do what you ask us to do. So we thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you have saved and that you have brought us to a place of redemption because of Jesus. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to not get comfortable just doing church and just being Christians, Lord, but that you would challenge us to be followers of you. So be with us this week. And we just love you, Lord. We praise your name. Amen.